Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, Faith Church, I say, give it up for Jesus. Isn't he good? Amen. Obviously, there's a theme going on here about new wine. God oftentimes refers to oil as a type of the Holy Spirit and the wine, the good stuff, as a type of the Holy Spirit. And the passage I wanted to show you today starts out in Luke chapter 5, verse 37. And it says, no one pours new wine into old wineskin. Otherwise, the new wine will burst out of the skins and the wine will run out of the wineskins and be ruined. No one puts new wine in old wineskin. It must be new wineskin. So today I want to talk a little bit about what the Holy Spirit's doing in my life and what I think he wants to do in your life. There's a time where you've kind of been there, done that, and oftentimes in ministry, I don't go to church on the weekends. I have church on the weekends, and so I have to try to fill myself up during the week. Oftentimes when I read the Bible and I see all kinds of people that should read this verse. Anybody ever read the Bible? You're like, I got to send that to Barbara. Come on, raise your hand. Boy, if my wife could read this, right? You try to fit it into a conversation. And then if your Holy Spirit's really dealing with you, he'll speak to you and go, hey, this isn't about anybody else, big boy. This is for you. And in my case, oftentimes, because I have to come up with so much content when you speak as much as I do, and if you're not careful, you tell the same stories or go to the same passages and you have an affinity for some things. When you read, you're not necessarily reading for yourself. You're reading going, man, I can make a sermon out of this. And so there has to be a certain discipline in your life so the Holy Spirit can say no, because for you to do what you need to do, you need to be saved. How many of y'all admit being a Christian in this business is probably best for me? Raise your hand, right? Some of you don't care, do you? So the Holy Spirit is always dealing with our spirit, not in a condemning way, but a convicting way. And this metaphor certainly shows that God wants us to have this outpouring of the Spirit in our life, but it requires a new mindset. If we're not cautious, we get rigid, and we get in a framework, we get really busy, and then our wineskin, our heart gets hardened. And you've all seen those little wineskins, and they say that this leather, to stay pliable and flexible, they need to rub it down with oil. And again, when you come into a service like today at all of our campuses, the Holy Spirit is putting the oil on the inside of you. Have you ever been in the middle of one of our worship services, you know, and you got here and a few songs in, you started feeling God? I mean, all of a sudden, have you ever got goosebumps? Raise your hand. Go. What is it? The Holy Spirit is dealing with you. And this keeps us on the rails and keeps us from going crazy, keeps us out of the world system. And this is what God is saying. Hey, what I want to do in your life, the Open Door 24, by the way, we still have September, October, November, and December. You still have 4 months for God to do what he's going to do. And here's the good news. He did all of this that you see in 6 days. On the seventh was the Sabbath. He rested, which is what you're doing today. You're going to church. You're recalibrating your heart to God. So if you would do what God's speaking to you to do, and I would do what God's speaking to me to do, we'd have that new, supple wineskin so God could do something in your life. I got a feeling the things he wants to do in your life, you've kind of given up on it because of the divorce, the betrayal, the heartache, the financial setback, gas prices, all this, COVID. You got all kinds of things that have made you hardened and rigid instead of pliable and flexible to the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if this is making sense to you. So all you have to do, and I'll give you a few things that'll help you, but there's a couple things you can do to recalibrate your heart. And really the first thing is just a decision. I wrote down 6 things I want you to think about, questions you could ask yourself. Number one is, are you going after God with your whole heart? So does your calendar show that? You know, every tomorrow, even though it's my birthday, I'm just a shameless plug, I'll be $49.95 and some change. Y'all feeling me today? And tomorrow I'll get a list of the meetings that I have to do and the Zoom links to those. And every day I get a link. But nobody sends me a link to go, hey, here's the time that you need to pray, or here's the time that you seek God. So in your calendar, we have to say, am I going after God with my whole heart or part of my heart? Because God doesn't want just part of our heart. He wants all of our heart. Have you ever made a decision to do something, and even though nothing had changed yet, because your mind changed, you felt better because you knew all hell will freeze over, but I'm going to do that. Raise your hand if you don't try. It's a decision of quality. So we make that decision of quality towards God and say, God, I want the new wine of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want direction and correction. And I'm not going after you with one foot in and one foot out. It's not the spiritual hokey pokey. I'm going to be all into this thing, and I'm going to do to the best of my ability what you're asking me to do. Now, point number two would be, does your checkbook reflect it? You know, oftentimes, I'm like you. I have my money, and you're like, man, and then you got she money, and that's money she don't know about. Come on, somebody. But then God oftentimes will say, hey, it's interesting how you have all the resources to do whatever you want, but can't say that you're giving me your whole heart when you're only giving me part, and you won't trust me with your finance. Three, how's your Bible reading going? And this isn't necessarily a checklist to go to heaven. This is a checklist for heaven on earth in your life. How's your Bible reading go? So when you read the Bible just for a few minutes a day, and you'll have some days that you forget or you mess up or you can't do it, but when you read the Word of God, you have the Word of God in your heart, it does something to your spirit, man, and what it does is makes your heart flexible so God knows that He can trust you. Because if we're just like the world and we act just like the world and we think just like the world, the statistics will be like the world, but the Bible said to come out from among them and be a separate people. The fact that you at all of our campuses today, here in Florida, everywhere, that you came to church today, do you realize you're in the 1% group of the people that came to church? Especially worshiping Jesus. I have a fairly large worldview. We travel the world. And when you're in Turkey or Istanbul, there are no Christian churches. You just hear five times a day, nah. It's really weird early in the morning. That's what you wake up hearing. False gods. By the way, that's happening in America, in Washington, D.C. There's parts of it that does that. That actually, a law got passed this week that it's doing that. We can't have the Ten Commandments anywhere, but you can do that. I'm not anti things or preaching against things. I'm just telling you, it's time for God's people to celebrate God and not Islam, but Jesus. Y'all hear me? Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. So how's your Bible reading going? Good. So number four, how's your God time going? I work for God, okay? So I feel that sometimes I get so busy working for God that I really don't have a lot of time for God. And then God will break my heart and go, man, I can't do with you what you need to do because you're not acting right now. I brought this to represent the old wineskin. They put a bunch of groceries in here for me. And we planned it this way because this is what happens. If we didn't want it to happen, we wouldn't have wet the bag. If we didn't want it to happen, we would have double or triple bagged it, but we didn't. But how many of y'all see that this is what happens if I'm not right with God like I should and I try to come carry the presence of God, it all falls to the floor and it really doesn't really make an impact. It's only an embarrassment for one more Christian to go down acting like everybody else. I don't say that we're better than anybody else, but we have an unfair advantage because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and when we communicate to God, we get the strength we need, the power we need, the direction we need, and then we can go about helping people that are in need with the good news of the gospel. Come on, every campus, give God praise today. It's my birthday. I'm going to keep this chilly. This guy's good. Number five, the question you can ask yourself is, how is your church attendance? The first thing that happens when you get sick is you lose your appetite. Any other time, you're down to clown and eat anywhere. Anybody ever totally full, but 2 hours later, somebody says, hey, you want to go have a piece of pie? And you're like, I can breathe again. But as soon as you get sick and something's wrong, your appetite goes away. I can tell when people have a spiritual decline when their church attendance goes away. See, what you do affects not only you, but your kids, and then someday, your kids' kids. That's heavy. Because the world is very confused, and I don't even want to start talking about how crazy it is out there. But how many of y'all think more than ever that we need to represent Jesus to our children so our children can not just say, Mama told me, but Mama showed me. So church attendance, I mean, can you go to heaven and not go to church? Absolutely. But your life won't necessarily most of the time turn out because the Bible said, again, if you're reading the Bible, then you'll come up on some stuff like, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. And it says, when the evil day approaches, do it all the more. So the evil day has definitely approached. So we need to not be going to church less. We need to go to church more. When I think about my dad, every morning of my life, as long as I can ever remember, there was a fake bowl of fruit because he wouldn't eat fruit. There's no way. A fake bowl of fruit there. He had usually a red amplified Bible laying on the fruit, kind of like it's like this. He had a red ink pen, and he had a bowl of Cheerios with chopped up bananas. He did eat bananas. And he would read it. Every day when I came down, he was reading that Bible. And I have loads of Bibles in my offices upstairs in my office in Florida that are worn out by my father. And if you would open up any part of it, it's all red because he thought it was all good. And he would put HS, meaning Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit said, and I cherish that. But if I lost all those Bibles, down in the recesses of my soul, I watched my dad model behavior that was becoming of a Christ follower and say, I'm going to give my whole life to Jesus, and I'm going to bring my kids in the house of God. And my two brothers, they didn't serve Jesus. On and off. Unfortunately, my brother, and this way you got to be careful, my brother that was 16 when my dad died, he went on to get addicted to drugs, and my brother is in Arizona living in the streets and homeless and a drug addict, and I can't do anything about it. So, but all I can tell you is this. The thing that you've got to do is say, I'm going to do what's right because it's right, and I'm going to make a little list for myself and make sure that my calendar shows that God is part of my life and a big part. I'm going to make sure that my checkbook reflects that. I'm going to make sure that my Bible reading reflects that, and I'm going to make sure that my God time reflects that, and I want to make sure that my church attendance reflects that. Because number six, the last one is, sometimes I do this. Are you scrolling on the phone instead of seeking the throne? I promise you, when I'm dead, I'm still going to be doing this for 3 days. Because I go down a rabbit hole, especially on TikTok. It's like, you know, what does atenolol do? What does intermittent fasting do? And the next thing you know, I'm like, hey, God, I'm sorry, but I know a lot about stuff. But that's our reality that we live in. I'm not anti that. I do that. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit will stop you in your tracks and say, hey, I need to talk to you about you. You're not doing so good right now, maybe, in your life. And we'll all be up and down at different times. And it all goes back to our heart. Everybody shout, heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Well then, everybody, roll palm, listen to this. I will give you a new heart. That's what happened when you got saved. I will put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your old heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, something supple. Think about that. Think about that wineskin. It's no longer hard. It's supple. What God is speaking to here is transformation. This is symbolizing the wineskin. It's symbolizing when, before you knew Jesus, you had a hard heart, and then the Holy Spirit came in, and he started giving you a supple heart and a tender heart. And then when you start doing that, you'll just be nicer. You'll enjoy your life. You'll have compassion for people. When you've been doing those things I'm talking about right now, an ambulance will pass by, and you'll go, God, help them. Get out of the way. When I don't pray, I don't pray for people. In fact, I'm like, I got to beat this ambulance. I'm in a hurry. I got to get out ahead. You don't like that, but that's just the truth, okay? I'm a human. Before I was a pastor, I was a man. So our heart, everybody shout, our heart has to get right with the Lord. And here's what I promise you. If you'll take one step towards the Holy Spirit and towards your heart, towards God, he'll take 20 towards you. Just like that. The problem will be solved. The pressure will be gone. I made these decisions this week, like little things that were bothering me. And the Bible said, if our heart condemns us, then God is greater than our heart. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with me like, you need to change that. You need to fix this. And I'm like, ah, get around to it. You need to stop doing this. You need to start doing that. Okay. And then this week, I just made a decision. And I know this will happen to you. Now listen, God is not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for anybody. So I made that decision. Then Friday night, I went to bed. And before I went to bed, I was looking at the financial reports of the church because all of that basically goes kind of up the pole to me and kind of started this, so I got to kind of keep an eye on it. And I was watching that we were running out of money like really fast compared to all the money that we're spending. Like Fairview Heights, by the way, there's an interest meeting today about it because it starts, I think it's in January, and there's like a $500,000 elevator surprise, and there's $100,000 another surprise, and then there's a $200,000 surprise, and there's about $2 million worth of surprises. You know, that's never a good day. Raise your hand, that's never a good day. And then Florida, same kind of thing. It's just labor's really high, and they thought it was going to cost an additional $700,000, and it ends up going to be another $1.5 million. And I text my CFO, and I said, hey, we're running out of money, and my calculation's like, we're going to need to borrow, which I hate to do that because we owe $16 million, but we're going to need to borrow like another $2 million. And then he texted me right back before I went to bed and said, I think your calculations are wrong. I think we're going to have to get like $3 million on the low side, $4 million on the high side. Now I got to try to go to bed. Come on, go with me right now. I was like, man, what did I do? Then, watch this. I start thinking about decisions that I made years ago. Like, you know, they all told me, once you build Earth City, it's a massive church. I got to go there and preach in 13 minutes and 41 seconds. And then I'm going to come back here and preach. I'm going to go to Earth City and preach. And then everybody told me, the experts, like, that's huge. That's enough. Don't do it. If I would have stopped there, we'd be totally out of debt. There'd be no sleepless nights. There'd be no worried about money. There wouldn't be anything like that. But I made a crazy decision to say, maybe we should build another church because people in Weldon could use it. And then when Michael Brown got shot and all the stuff, craziness, ground zero of racial tension was there, we decided to buy 17 acres and a church in honor of that and build the fastest growing African-American church in St. Louis that is watching us right now as we speak. And then we decided to go to Florida because people were going to hell. And then we had never went over to Illinois, and God knows people in Illinois need Jesus. And then a movie theater pops up, and I was dumb enough to sign my name to $3.5 million, not knowing it's going to be $11 million because I didn't see COVID. I didn't see the problem. But you know who saw it? God Almighty saw it. And if it's God's will, it's God's bill. We got to drop to our knees and say, God, you can be comfortable or we can be passionate. We can sit back on our laurels or we can pray and say, God, I'm tired of other gods making noise and other people getting down on a mat in New York and looking towards the east and praying to a false god. We're going to serve a true and living God, a resurrected Savior who gave his life for humanity. Somebody ought to shout amen today. So now I go to bed. I fall asleep with the help of 10 milligrams of melatonin and took 20 milligrams of melatonin. And then at about 2, I woke up and thought, oh my gosh, still thinking about it. I probably won't be able to go to sleep because I'm still thinking about it. And then I fell asleep and I had a dream. This dream was a dream from the Lord. Doesn't happen to me much. The Bible said that your young men will see visions and your old men will see dreams. And unfortunately, this was a dream. And I have this dream, and in the dream, my father appears to me and we have lunch together. I'm not saying I communicated with the dead, people that clip this out. It's not that. I just had a dream, okay? And my dad was there, and another family member was there, and I begin to tell them I was praying. God did a work in my heart, and I told them everything that was going on. I told them about all the different money problems and this problem and that problem and how I was believing God for this, and all of a sudden, the other family member said, look, you didn't know this was going to happen, and you didn't know that was going to happen, but I can promise you that I can see the Holy Spirit on you, and in the dream, I can physically, I'm asleep, right, but I can feel chills on my physical body. I was awake enough to know it, but I was asleep enough to be in it. And then I just woke up out of this dream, and all of a sudden, I had all the faith that I needed to do it. Now, I had no more money at 6 o'clock in the morning than I did at 12 o'clock in the morning. But something happened on the inside of me when the Holy Spirit visited me with that, and I knew the rest is going to be paperwork, that God is going to take care of it. I'm here to tell you that God's got you on his mind. He's got your situation on your mind. He's got the cancer on the mind. He's got the marriage problem on the mind. He's got whatever you're going through. It's on his mind. He's on it. He's bigger than you think he is. And he's got more than you think he has. But we got to make sure that our heart is supple, because if I tried to put this stuff in there and God said, bless me, God supplied for me, the Bible said that we would have pockets with holes in it, and it's not doing me any good. Because I can't contain the blessing. It's there, but I can't get it in there. And God is saying, hey, I want to bless you, but I can't bless you in the disobedience. Obedience is a blessing exchange. And when you do those things that we talked about, these six things, it's not like, that's not the Bible. That's just David Crank's paraphrase to let you know. Hey, these will be six things that'll help get you towards the Lord. Raise your hand if this is speaking to your heart today. Raise your hand, okay? So here's the good news. God's grace is sufficient. He's wonderful. But man, it just feels good when you know that he knows and he's on it. By the way, let's talk about the power of visualization for a moment. Everything that you see at every church that you're sitting in today, the chairs, the parking lot, the carpet, the lights, you're looking right there at $1 million in LED. Line arrays, $1 million. Every church that you're at, you sit there in a parking lot and you look at these air units. Our city watching right now, the sprinklers, the fire marshal needed new ones. That was $125,000 that comes up in 2 weeks, right? When I was just a little guy who never graduated high school, I feel like I can't be with a pastor that's not educated. Nicole has more degrees than the thermometer, so look at her, okay? But I'm saying, I didn't know how to do this. And I'm actually glad I didn't know how to do this. Because if I'd known how to do this, I'd have messed it up saying it couldn't be done. When God was going to do what he's going to do, and I was just dumb enough to think he was going to do it, we did our city and we built it out in 6 or 8 weeks. And by the way, to pause, this is not about buildings. I could care less about buildings. I care about the people that come in here that are divorced, that are suicidal, that are on drugs, like my brother. And I can't reach my brother, but I believe if I help somebody here, God will help somebody there. Somebody ought to give God praise today. I'm going to spend my whole life trying my best to keep me on the straight and narrow, to say, God, here's my heart, here's my lungs, here's my eyes, here's my ears. Lord, if you can use somebody, use me. Somebody ought to give him praise today. Use this, God. So I think that was a great visual of how that we can't contain it if we can't contain it. So the power of visualization. When I saw this, I was working with our creative team, and I said, hey, here's my idea. And then somebody brought bags. They sent it to me yesterday, so right before church. Here's your plastic bags. I said, I didn't ask for plastic bags, man. I need a bag, a real bag. And apparently Aldi's the only one that's not plastic. But what I saw in here, if you're not careful, good people, they didn't mean anything. They just had a better idea or a different idea. I want you to know that you have the code for your life. You have a thumbprint to leave an imprint that nobody else can leave. I can't be Joel today. I'm very close friends with Joel. I love Joel. Been on vacation with Joel, all over the world with Joel. Joel is a real deal. But no matter how bad Joel Osteen wants to be me, he's never going to pull it off. So Joel does something different. I do something different. I don't have to be him. He doesn't have to be me. And you don't have to be anybody but you. But there's a real clear clarion call on your life. And God is saying, hey, what you got to do is to make sure you're right with God, because the best part of your life is out ahead of you. But you're thinking now, because you got gray hair, it's not going to happen. Because you're divorced, it's not going to happen. Because you had the setback, it's not going to happen. God is not checking with what happened to see what's going to happen. You have to visualize in your heart and say, you know what? Let every man be a liar, but let God's word be true. I know the plans he has for me. We sang it. He has good plans for me. You're singing that for a reason. So let's get this thing right so we can move on and do what God wants you to do with your life. And I know you were molested, you were hurt, you were betrayed, you were lied on. And if you focus on that, this is what's going to happen. But you say, I'm going to double bag it. I'm going to get in a group. I'm going to get around people that can help me think the right way. I'm going to go through Growth Track. A lot of you have never went up the elevator or wherever you're at in your campus and said, I'm going to go with Growth Track. So where we connect with God, which you know you need to do. Then you connect with people. Then you discover your purpose. And then you make a difference. When you start saying, I'm not just coming to the church for it to bless me. Raise your hand if this church has blessed you. But at some point, you got to go, I'm going to give back and help God help people. And then you'll be so surprised when you're giving back of some of your time and some of your talent that you do at the church, how good it feels. When you hear stories of people and their lives that were changed, and you know that you're a part of that, because you are. I can't pastor all these churches by myself. I didn't do this by myself. I did this with the help of God and a whole lot of people who supported me. And a lot of you are those people. And some of you are new here, but it's time for you to get in and go, hey, hang on a minute. I'm going to do these things right here. And one thing that helps us be accountable to God is actually be accountable to other people. If you just go to church, you slip in and you slip out. Oftentimes you go, I'm not going to go today. I'm going to watch online. You're like, I'm going to worship at St. Mattress, right? And then when you get hooked in, all of a sudden now you have community and you have responsibility and now you got to go. It's the power of intention. You ought to write that down if you're a note taker, the power of intention. You can intend to go to the gym, but if you set a time to go to the gym and you meet a person there, you got to go because you told Margaret you would meet her there at 8:00. So the power of intention. So we all intend to do better tomorrow, and we would if we'd start today. And say, some things I'm just not going to do. In a couple weeks, next Sunday's a different sermon, but in a few weeks, I got a new series coming out, and I don't know what it's going to be called, but it's about your health. I wanted to call it What the Health, but I don't think it's a good idea. But I think it's catchy. But I wanted to share with you, when my dad died at 56 years old of cancer, nobody had ever taught him about health and nutrition. Before he died, because I loved him so much, I was trying to learn anything that I could to help him. And then after he died, I went on a quest about health, vitamins, minerals, nutrition, exercise, cardiovascular system, intermittent fasting. I have an app on my phone. Last night when I was preaching, I hadn't eaten for, I think it was like 36 hours. I'm fasting again till tonight. When you fast, and I'll talk about it, how your body and your microbiome starts getting healthy and it kills the bad cells in your life. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Right. I'm saying that we got some really good content coming up, and the devil comes to try to distract you while you're like, I gotta get better. I don't feel good. God's like, hey, if you let your calendar and your checkbook and your Bible and your God time and your church attendance, if you'd focus on that, the answer is always in the house. Have you ever been to church and you and your wife were in an argument, your husband or wife were in an argument, but you came in and you acted like it was right? Raise your hand if you've done that. If you're not raising your hand, you're either not married or you're a liar. Anybody ever been at church and the Holy Spirit fixed the problem, then you got in the car and thought, are we going to talk about that or not talk about that? Are you okay? Anybody had that moment where you're like, I think she's okay. She kissed me on the forehead before she went to bed. I think it's good. Raise your hand. This is real facts, right? And then if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you're like, she kissed me on the forehead, but I'm still talking to her about that tomorrow. Some things, that's right. If you can't always be right. Nobody wants a leader that's always right. They want a leader that's honest, and that's why, as a pastor, I got to tell you, this is a non-GMO message. This is a non-genetically modified sermon. This is real me with real issues and real problems telling you there's a real Savior who's full of grace, and I'm wanting to do better, and I want you to do better, and I think if we all do it together, we can do better. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you. So I'll shut up after this, but I think it'll help you a little. After I had the dream and then God put this settled in my heart, everything I've ever gotten, I believed God for all the things that you might see. We're the only TV ministry who's on television spending like $1 million a year and never asked for a dollar in 20 years and never will. God told me, if you feed my kids, I'll send the child support. And somehow, some way, he has. Sometimes through casino owners. Right now, a guy who's paying our bills on the biggest strip club in America got saved, wanted me to go dedicate the strip club. I said, Nicole, we'll probably think that's a bad idea. He sold the strip club, but he still owns the casino. Somebody said, the church would take the casino money? Absolutely. We will pray over that money if you win the lottery, rebuke the devil over it, and preach the gospel with it. God didn't tell me how he's going to send it. He just sends it. So now I wake up, right? I feel better. I'm praying. And I feel like I should, like, honestly, it was like the Holy Spirit, like, get on TikTok for a second. And I looked on TikTok, and immediately there's this thing called the power of intention. And I know this can get new agey, so I'm not saying that. But this is like Matthew 11, 23 and 24, where you can visualize it and call things that be not as though they were. And this really old video that somebody had reposted, this guy says, God is my witness. Now remember, I need like 19 million. And it says, in a real calm voice, with the power of intention and the power of visualization, a dollar is just as easy to get as $1 million. A million is only a dollar. A dollar, $1 million is only a dollar 1 million times. And for some reason, that might not make sense to you, I went, oh my gosh, a dollar is only, I'm a homeschooler, but I can do this math. A dollar 1 million times is $1 million. And all I have to do that is 18 or 19 times, and I'm done, but I kind of know me. And I kind of know God. If God is wanting to do something great and the world's in trouble, I don't think he's done it 18 or 19 million. I think as long as there's a strip club on every corner, a CVS and a Walgreens on every corner, and a Starbucks on every corner, there needs to be a church preaching these kind of sermons of God's grace, his acceptance, and his love. And you say, how are we going to get the money? I believe you're going to do those things. God is going to speak to you, and we're going to change the world. Somebody ought to shout amen to that. We're going to preach the good news of gospel. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. God's grace is sufficient for you. His grace is made perfect in your weakness. You're blessed coming in. You're blessed going out. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Everything your hand touches turns to good. God healed you 2,000 years ago. That sums up kind of what we preach around here. We serve a good God, and we're anti a bad devil. And I read the back of the book. I cheated. Revelations. Guys, we win. We win. Come on, Jesus is coming back. Trump is going to sound. He's going to be on a white horse. Somebody ought to get excited. A big old sword's coming out of his mouth, and we're going to go, that's my king! That's my king! And we're all going to rise to meet him in heaven in the air, and all our loved ones will be there, and we're going to have a whole lot of people with us that would have went to hell, but because we built a church, they went to heaven. Somebody ought to give God praise in his house today. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy that we feel here today. God, I ask for you to move in and out every row, up and down every aisle, and touch your people.